Today is April 9th, 2025, and you're listening to Space News First Up.
Did you know Space News now has 6 newsletters? We recently added an audio, video, and live events newsletter and are now launching our bi-weekly China report. To sign up, visit spacenews.com/newsletters.
Here are today's top headlines in space. SpaceX won most of the first year of launches assigned under the new National Security Space Launch Contract. The head of U.S. Space Command said preparing for war in space is required to deter space-based aggression. Space Systems Command announced a new intelligence-sharing program aimed at warning commercial satellite operators about potential threats to their orbital assets. Millennium Space Systems is nearly doubling its satellite manufacturing capacity. Other companies are pushing toward the capability for continuous satellite production. L3Harris is shifting to automated processes for a new facility that will produce weather satellite instruments. Umbra won a contract to develop next-generation maritime surveillance satellites. Astroscale US will refuel 2 Space Force spacecraft on a mission launching next year. And space robotics company Geetai has created a defense-focused subsidiary.
First Up is produced by Space News, the industry standard for professional space journalism. Visit spacenews.com for breaking news, policy updates, and original analysis.
We begin today with news that SpaceX won most of the first year of launches assigned under the new National Security Space Launch, NSSL, contract. SpaceX received 7 of the 9 launches in fiscal year 2025 for the NSSL Phase 3 Lane 2 contracts awarded last week, with ULA getting the other 2. Industry sources said 2 of the SpaceX launches, a pair of NRO missions, were originally assigned to ULA but moved to SpaceX due to ongoing construction and upgrades at ULA's West Coast launch facility for its Vulcan rocket. The Space Force says that ULA launch site is not yet certified. The NSSL Phase 3 Lane 2 contracts include 54 launches over 5 years for SpaceX, ULA, and Blue Origin. The head of U.S. Space Command said preparing for war in space is required to deter space-based aggression. In a speech at Space Symposium Tuesday, General Stephen Whiting said that while the U.S. does not seek conflict in space, it is preparing for it to prevent adversaries from gaining an upper hand. The U.S. is prioritizing capabilities such as advanced surveillance tools, maneuverable satellites, and on-orbit defensive and offensive systems. He disclosed in his speech a new milestone in Allied space cooperation, a bilateral proximity operation between the U.S. and France involving a rendezvous near a strategic competitor spacecraft. Space Systems Command announced a new intelligence-sharing program aimed at warning commercial satellite operators about potential threats to their orbital assets. The Orbital Watch will distribute unclassified threat data to more than 900 space companies registered through the command's front door portal, even if the companies do not have security clearances. The initiative comes amid growing concerns about threats to space assets, from physical attacks to jamming and cyber attacks. Millennium Space Systems is nearly doubling its satellite manufacturing capacity. Leaders at the company, a Boeing subsidiary that focuses on smaller satellites for defense applications, said they want to increase production from 1 to 2 satellites each month to 6 to 12 each month. The main catalyst for expansion is a $414 million contract to build and operate 8 Foo Fighter missile tracking satellites equipped with advanced infrared sensors. The company is also working on a nearly $1 billion order for 12 missile tracking satellites for the U.S. Space Force that will operate in medium Earth orbit, as well as other classified work. Other companies are pushing toward the capability for continuous satellite production. That effort is a major shift for an industry that has traditionally operated on a lumpy production cycle, building large, exquisite systems on a decade-scale cadence, executives of several manufacturers said at Space Symposium Tuesday. Reaching that continuous production rate is still several years away, in part because their supply chains also need to scale up production of key components. L3Harris is shifting to automated processes for a new facility that will produce weather satellite instruments. The new $125 million factory in Indiana, scheduled to open next week, is a paperless facility designed for automated manufacturing, the company said. It will produce instruments for the next generation of NOAA geostationary weather satellites, as well as Japan's Himawari 10 weather satellite. Umbra won a contract to develop next-generation maritime surveillance satellites. The company, known as a developer of radar mapping spacecraft, said Tuesday it was selected to develop these satellites under a public-private agreement known as Strategic Funding Increase that could be valued at up to $60 million pending final contracting and co-investment commitments. The funding will go towards next-generation sensor satellites aimed at enhancing maritime and open ocean search capabilities for the United States and its allies in the Indo-Pacific. Astroscale US will refuel two Space Force spacecraft on a mission launching next year. The company said Tuesday its APS-R spacecraft, scheduled to launch in the summer of 2026, will first refuel one of the satellites in the Space Force's upcoming Tetra 5 mission, then refuel another unidentified spacecraft. Between the two fuelings, APS-R will top off its own hydrazine tanks using an orbit fab propellant depot. Those refuelings will take place just above the geobelt. The refuelings are part of efforts to demonstrate sustained maneuverability in space. Space robotics company Gitai has created a defense-focused subsidiary. Gitai, founded in Japan but now based in California, said the new Gitai Defense and Space subsidiary will seek work from the Defense Department and other U.S. government agencies. The subsidiary's ownership structure is set up to qualify it for U.S. government work, given that Gitai itself still has majority ownership by Japanese companies and individuals. In other news, Reuters reports that NASA Administrator nominee Jared Isaacman is expected to emphasize Mars missions in his confirmation hearing this morning. In written testimony, Isaacman states that NASA will prioritize sending American astronauts to Mars, but will have the capabilities to return to the moon as well. Senator Ted Cruz, Republican Texas, chairman of the Senate Commerce Committee, which will hold the hearing, said earlier this week he had been reassured by Isaacman that the Trump administration will seek to return humans to the moon before the end of Trump's term. Redwire is partnering with iSpace US on lunar lander missions. The two companies announced a memorandum of understanding Tuesday, where Redwire will contribute technologies and facilities for lunar landers that iSpace US develops. The companies intend to compete for future NASA commercial lunar payload services missions, but also see increased commercial interest in lunar spacecraft. Other lunar lander developers also see growing interest in such missions outside of NASA. Intuitive Machines said 10% of the revenue from its recent IM-2 lander mission came from international space agencies, universities, companies, and rideshare customers. Intuitive and other companies said at a space symposium panel that commercial interest in lunar missions remains nascent, but is growing. Intuitive Machines selected SpaceX to launch its fourth lunar lander mission. Intuitive Machines said Tuesday it selected SpaceX's Falcon 9 to launch the IM-4 mission in 2027. The company used the Falcon 9 for its first two lander missions and will also launch its IM-3 lander mission on that rocket next year. In addition to the IM-4 lander, the launch will also carry two satellites as part of Intuitive's deployment of a five-satellite constellation for data relay services at the moon. Danish smallsat manufacturer GomSpace will use space traffic management tools from Portugal's Neuraspace. The companies announced the partnership Tuesday, where GomSpace's hands-off operations platform, HOOP, a system designed to automate spacecraft management tasks, will incorporate Neuraspace's artificial intelligence-driven satellite tracking capabilities. HOOP users would receive automated conjunction alerts and optimized collision avoidance maneuver recommendations as part of their service from GomSpace. Space nuclear power and propulsion technologies are finally poised for a breakthrough, provided the U.S. government maintains interest. Companies in the field, like L3Harris, believe that nuclear electric propulsion and nuclear thermal propulsion are on the cusp of flight demonstrations in the next few years. Such technologies have long promised far greater in-space propulsion capabilities, but are now benefiting from interest by agencies such as NASA and DARPA. That interest needs to be maintained, industry officials said, to keep those technologies' development on track. Recent tests have proven the feasibility of optical inter-satellite links involving CubeSats. The Aerospace Corporation and Spire Global announced similar but independent on-orbit tests of optical links involving CubeSats earlier this year. While optical links have long been used with larger spacecraft, these tests show the technology can be used on much smaller satellites despite challenges like pointing accuracy and limited power. E&E News reports that NOAA has backed off from plans to defer maintenance on polar orbiting weather satellites. A recent internal memo has called for a minimum mission operations approach for the two joint polar satellite system spacecraft to save money, a move some worried could lead to technical problems that would interrupt service. NOAA now says it will not change its operations of those satellites, but declined to provide details about that decision and its cost. Bangladesh is the latest country to sign the Artemis Accords. Bangladeshi government officials signed the accords at a ceremony in the capital of Dhaka Tuesday, making Bangladesh the 54th country to sign. Bangladesh is the second country to join this year after Finland in January.